Hi, welcome to this week's She Heroes Chatcast. My name is Megan Harvey. This week, our guest is Ariel Johnson, a geek girl who is working hard at creating a place for Philadelphia geeks to hang out. She is creating a comic book and coffee house hybrid store. She's been working on making this dream a reality for the past 10 years, and in the coming weeks is finally going to see that happen. So we welcome her to the show to talk about making her dream a reality and creating a fun and safe space for geek girls and boys to hang out in Philadelphia.
Welcome to the She Heroes Podcast. We want to empower young girls of all backgrounds to dream big, explore their interests, and passionately pursue non-traditional careers. On the She Heroes Podcast, we hope to help girls imagine their own potential by sharing the stories of exceptional, successful women role models across all fields, like Sally Ride. We believe if you can't see it, you can't be it. Welcome to the She Heroes Podcast.
Thank you so much for being on with me today. I know things are probably pretty busy for you, so I appreciate you taking the time to come chat.
Thank you. Thank you for wanting to talk to me. It's always like humbling.
Well, I love what you're doing, and you know, here at She Heroes, we're always looking to, you know, build up and showcase girls and women that are doing things that just traditionally you wouldn't expect to see girls and women doing. And just the main point is just to show other girls that they can do whatever they want to do, whatever their dream is, they can go for it. So I think you're a perfect example of that. My first question is just, let's start from the beginning. Tell me a little bit about your background and kind of growing up to be a comic book fan and geek girl, kind of so to speak, and and what led you to kind of your dream of opening up your own comic book store? Because that's, I would love to hear that. What kind of led you to this?
Okay, well, I am an 80s kid. I grew up watching things like He-Man and She-Ra, Thundercats and Transformers, all that kind of stuff. And my dad actually encouraged it. My older sister, well, he has, you know, my sister was born first and was a girl, and so I think he was hoping that I would be a boy so that he could, you know, share some things with me, I guess, that he felt like were for boys. So even though he got me, he still did that, which I think is one of the reasons that, you know, I, you know, enjoy those things, like, because of him, and he would buy me He-Man toys, and, my mom used to get upset with him because he would, like, dress me like a boy, like, he would buy me boys clothes, and so, you know, she wasn't happy about that, but, yeah, so it was just one of those things. So I was introduced to it at a young age, and I just never grew out of it. Definitely like the kind of thing you expect. I'm sure my mom expected, like, eventually she won't like these things anymore, and that just never happened. And then I specifically got into comic books when, or comic book properties, I should say, when in the 90s, Fox's X-Men, you know, debuted and came on at like 11 a.m. on Saturdays. And I, you know, from the first moment I saw it, I was like, what is this? And then especially because of Storm, like her being black and female, you know, was not something you normally saw in like the superhero genre. So, you know, I was like immediately like captivated by her and like, who is this? And it started from there. And so that was the 90s. So I guess, what was I in, like, middle school, I guess, in the 90s, early 90s. And then I started actually reading, you know, transitioned into comic books when I got to high school, because I had a friend who collected, and he would, you know, he was actually dating my cousin, which is how we became friends. But so we would, like, you know, all hang out at his house, and he had this huge, he and his brother had this huge comic book collection. And, you know, he was a big X-Men fan, too. So he was, like, sharing that stuff and, like, oh, read this, read this. So that's how I specifically got into comics. And then I started buying my own comics in college, which is when I really started my own collection and reading things regularly and reading more current comic books. And so it's all interconnected. So,
yeah.
In college, I would buy my comic books from Fat Jack's, which is at 20th and Sansom in Center City, Philadelphia. And right across the street, there was this really cute independent coffee shop called Crimson Moon. Again, another like young Black woman that owned it, which was again just like really inspirational for me. And I just loved her, like her whole vibe and how she had things laid out. She had very unique, like kind of mishmash furniture, and she had very cool murals in her bathrooms. I never went in the men's bathroom, but the women's bathroom had this beautiful mural that was just of women. And like, you know, just women or women, like there was like whimsical, like dressed up as like daisies and just, it was just beautiful, but it was just all women. I thought that was beautiful. And I just like everything about her shop I love. So, and again, she was right across the street from Fat Jack. So I would like buy my comic books on Friday and then go over there and like get a hot chocolate and a piece of cake and just like sit and just like read everything that I bought and then, you know, kind of hang out for a while and then go home. And that was just like my routine. And she ended up having to close her doors. I think something like the landlords raised her rent or something like mm-hmm. that, and she couldn't afford to stay, you know, so she was kind of forced out. And so when that happened, I was just kind of at a loss for what to do after I, you know, bought my comic books each week. And I don't know, something about going home to read them by myself, like just alone, seemed sad. It's like you feel like you're doing the, you know, like the basement geek kind of stereotype. It's like
right.
being secretive about it almost. I got to go home and read my stuff. And so I was just talking to my friend and roommate at the time, just saying like, man, it would be really cool if there was a place where you could not only buy your comic books, but could hang out there, could read them, could maybe get into some conversations and actually have some community around it.
Right.
And so that's really, that's just really how it started. Like that simple, like, I want to be able to buy something and sit and read it. And then it's just kind of grown, into this thing where I realized it could be a platform to, you know, showcase local artists, to showcase, you know, artists of color and women and artists in the LGBTQ community that maybe right. don't get the same exposure that, you know, like the, you know, I mean, comic books are still dominated by, you know,
right.
straight white males.
Right.
And so, you know, while other people are, you know, making headway, it's still very uneven. And I just realized, like, especially because I am a Black woman that is, you know, very immersed in geek culture, like, you know, I have like a unique voice and a unique experience just as how I've had to exist in this, like, you know, very, this geek world that I don't, you know, I don't look like most of them, like,
right.
you know, most of the geeks, I don't look like them.
Right.
And those challenges and, you know, awkward, uncomfortable moments that you have because people don't expect, you know, you to be in the store or whatever. So I just felt like I could, you know, bring my own unique experience to that. And also kind of like maybe even make sure that the next person doesn't have that experience, just because by the nature of you're coming into a store that I own, like a lot of that is already off the table.
Right.
You know, you don't feel like that. And then just, you know, as we've gotten deeper and, you know, I have a niece who is very geeky and that is probably my fault. I'm sure her parents are like, what is she talking about? But, you know, and she's a really big gamer and I game, but I'm not a gamer, you know, like hardcore. But you know, but even things like Gamergate and all this where
right.
like, women are being abused, like in online gaming and things like that. And so again, just again, being a place where, you know, little girls like my niece or just people in general who again, don't fit, you know, the mold or whatever
right.
can feel safe to be who they are and explore who they are and really, like express themselves, you know?
Oh, totally. Well, that kind of brings me in, that segs right into my next question, which is kind of, so what are some of the specific challenges? Because, I mean, granted, it has changed. You and I are not too far apart in age. So, you know, we have both seen it change the comic book world, and it's become a little bit more diverse and a little bit more opening to girls than when we were younger. But it's still... there's still a long way to go and for people of color as well. So what are some of the specific challenges kind of you have faced since you started taking the literal steps to, you know, build your business, you know, and this doesn't just go for the comic book world either, but also just being a female business owner and a woman of color business owner, which is still also a place where girls find challenges, you know, just running their own business. So kind of tell me a little bit about some of the challenges you faced in that aspect.
And so the learning curve has been huge because I've never opened a business before. So some of it is just like, you know, I don't exactly know what I'm doing at every step. You know what I mean?
Right.
I have an idea. I know what the goal is, but I'm still learning. And I think... I have a lot of people helping me and a lot of advice, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm on the front lines. And so I'm interacting with, you know, a lot of men, specifically mm-hmm. a lot of white men, when it comes to, you know, my architects that I've had to, you know, reach out to, engineers, contractors, my landlords, like all of that. And so I do feel like, you know, it's a little bit of a boys club.
Right.
And so no matter what, you know, it's like, I don't fit in. And I do feel like even now, there have been situations where I think because of my lack of experience, and also I think, you know, just the fact that, you know, I am a woman and me being a person of color, I'm sure has added to, I do feel like at certain points I've been taken advantage of.
Right.
And so it's just one of those things. And again, I am nice. my friends tell me for the most part.
Yeah.
And I'm also, I'm like a little bit of an idealist. And, and one of my friends always says, she was like, you have a lot of integrity. And I think your challenge is you don't understand when other people don't.
Mm.
So I definitely had experiences where, you know, again, I just feel like let's be honest about things. And you know, I don't want to give any names because I still have to deal with a fair amount of these people. So I'm, you know, trying to keep things cordial and trying to keep communications open and good so that, you know, it doesn't become a hindrance to me later.
Mm-hmm.
But I am learning that I have to be a little more shrewd. And I think that's hard for girls because we're not raised to be that way. I think girls are raised to be nice.
Right.
Or you know what I mean? Because when you're not, or if you're, you know, outspoken or, you know, you take control of a situation, like people want to say, oh, she's bossy, or you
right.
know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which is language you would never say that to a boy. You don't call
no.
boys bossy. It's like, oh, he's take charge, you know, he, you know, has ambition or whatever. And
yeah.
it's like, well, we have those things too. But it's the second we say anything, it's like, you know. So it's weird.
You're touching on quite a few of the things that are regular topics in this podcast that I do. And that's with women who are, you know, in science and computers, women who are in movies and film. I mean, so the things you're saying are spot on for what, you know, it's what girls and women go through no matter what they're trying to accomplish. So it's definitely part of the bigger conversation we always are trying to have so
right.
that girls understand that no, it's you're not bossy. You're just doing what you need to do to accomplish your goals.
Right. It's like, you know what needs to be done. And you often get these people telling you, you know, like giving you their two cents or, well, I think you should do it like this. And, you know, and I'm very open to suggestions and things like that. But even from like a coffee vendor that I met with, like he basically told me I should change my whole business plan. And he's just like, oh, you know, if I were you, you know, I would focus on the coffee and make the comics a very small thing. And I'm listening to him, and it's like, meanwhile, I'm your customer. You should be trying to win me over, and instead you're like telling me how to do business. And it's like, I've thought out my business plan and it's sound, and you might not understand what I'm doing because the focus is on comics. Like, of course, like we are going to, you know, give Just Due to the coffee and, you know, thinking about like, you know, the roaster and making right. like great drinks. But this is to bring together a certain type of like people who like a certain thing.
Right.
And it's like, I understand that you don't understand that, or that might, you don't exist in that realm. So you don't quite get it. You don't understand how big and how important it is. I mean, this is like a whole culture.
Right.
You know, and people spend, you know, hundreds and thousands of their dollars, you know, in that, like, to exist in this world, like,
right.
whether it be just buying books or movies or comic cons or whatever, cosplaying, like all that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
But you thought that, you know, you knew more about what I'm doing than I did. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I've spent all this time researching it, and yet you still think that you can tell me the best way to go about things. It's just interesting. And again, it's one of those things. It's like, I can't prove it because, you know, I'm not doing like a case study where I had a male counterpart do the same thing I'm doing and what was the reaction, but I can't help walking away from those conversations and just thinking like that people feel like they can control you a little bit because it's like, oh, you know, she's a girl, you know, or
right.
you know, she doesn't know. Like, and so that's been the case in like just many different aspects where I've really had to say, no, that's not what I want. And even, you know, to the point where you're raising your voice, you know, and you're almost like yelling at people because it's like, otherwise they, you know, when you're being nice, they just want to ignore what you're saying. And even in the like, no, that's not what I want, you know, people talking over you and things like that. And, you know, and I've had to have several conversations where I've said, you know, please stop talking and let me finish. Let me finish my thought. You know what I mean? And again,
right.
all from people who it's like, I'm your client, you know, and you still, you know, think that you can control the situation.
Right.
You know, and to be fair, like, you know, some of it is, it's like, well, you know, you are an expert in this, so I am seeking your advice. But at the same time, you have to be respectful that it's my project. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think there is a way to do that. Like, this is what I think you should do, and this is why, but still being respectful of like, this is your decision. And at the end of the day, it's in your hands. That I feel like people, you know, men have issues, you know, like dealing with that or taking that, or understanding that. I feel like they have a very limited understanding of how they deal with women.
Right.
And so it's, you know, just like it's uncomfortable for me, it's uncomfortable for them too. And, you know, I don't know, it might even come from a place like, oh, I don't like this, she's telling me what to do, but not like that, but it's like, but I'm paying you. I need you to do what I ask. I mean, like, just real talk. It's about, I'm sorry, but, or I'm not sorry. That's the other thing. I've been trying to get myself to stop apologizing because I do feel like that's like, well, I'm sorry, but, and it's like, well, no, I don't have to apologize. I can want what I want. I guess, again, be a little more shrewd because it's needed just in the business world in general, and just to be alert of things because I am a woman and a person of color, and realizing that might color how people treat me. But also at the same time, trying to hold on to a level of niceness because I am nice and I don't want this process to make me somebody that I'm not. But I think, you know, I can still be, you know, aware and alert of things, but still like hold on to who I am. So it's just weird.
Right. No, I totally get that.
Trying to find that.
Balance. Exactly. So my next question is kind of, I was reading that not just serving coffee and selling comic books, but you also hope to be hosting special events, movie nights, trivia nights, gaming tournaments, and summer workshops, hopefully, on down the line. So I was just wondering if you could tell me a little bit more about some of the ideas you have for that phase of the business.
Oh, yeah. So that the first wave of renovation is just going to be to the front area because of the budget. But I do have a rear room that is separate that I hope to be eventually will be like the gaming lounge and just like a separate room where it's apart from the main floor. So other things can be happening in that room without disturbing just normal business flow.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the movie nights, again, just so we can like help showcase like local artists or independent artists. There's actually a woman who's doing a fan film that I'm really excited about. And I heard about it and just reached out to her and said, oh, would you be interested in showing that, you know, at the store that I'm planning to open? And she was like, oh yeah, that would be awesome. So just things like that, just kind of, again, showcase what, you know, individuals are doing. Like, you know, Marvel and DC are all well and good, but at the end of the day, they're like these huge corporate entities.
Mm-hmm.
And so their bottom line is, you know, making money. And so sometimes, you know, as a fan and as a lover of like these characters, like you see how sometimes the characters or the stories suffer because really for them at the end of the day, it's like, well, how can we make the most money?
Right.
And that's not always like the best thing creatively. So just to give space to like creators that, you know, money is not their sole focus, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's, you know, we're really excited about that. We hope to be open by the end of September. So we're trying to see if we can get together like one or two like independent horror films to show during the month of October. We might be pushing that one because it'll be crazy, but we'll see what we can do. And then as far as like the other events, like everything from like craft nights, the store will be open later. I want to be like a non-bar option for people who want to like socialize later at night.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now that's pretty much it. It's like you either go to the club or you go to a bar, but to just have some place where you can just hang out, but it's not so rowdy or whatever. So just having like, you know, fun nighttime activities that are more chill. Like again, the craft night thing, again, I like crafts. and that might also be because I'm a girl. Like I do feel like we tend to be a little craftier than most guys that I know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I see something, it's just like, oh, I had this idea and I did this thing. It's like, it's usually like a woman. So I think we like desire those outlets. So just to like also create those spaces. And I think that could be fun. Another thing we wanted to do is like, try to partner with, there's a local organization. I haven't actually spoken with them yet, so I won't say their name, but they have sewing classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it'd be cool to like, if we could partner with them to do like cosplay basics or whatever. So, you know, if you're getting into cosplay and you know, a lot of times you have to make things.
Right.
So just have like, you know, cosplay 101, how to make a basic cape, how to make a basic mask, like things like that. To just kind of help people along in their geekdom. And then, the room in the rear, its general use will be a gaming lounge. And we'll have, you know, tables for people who want a tabletop game like D&D or Magic or Settlers of Catan or anything like that. And then we'll also have, I would like to have like at least two screens back there and two different consoles with some seating so people can also video game as well. But then with that room, I think it could be very flexible on what we use it for. I've had people say they'd like to have their meetups there. So again, that's a room that can maybe be rented out. I was even thinking like it could be used if we wanted to do like birthday parties, like because again, it is a separate room, so we could have, you know, that could be one thing we did, like, you know, comic based birthday parties for the neighborhood. Another thing we've been kicking around is a Saturday morning cartoons and crafts. So that craft night would be specific, or that craft activity would be specifically aimed at children.
Right.
And I do live in a live and the store will be in a, you know, lower income neighborhood. So we're trying to figure out ways to make, if we did like that cartoons and craft, to make that free. Right. So that, you know, if kids in the neighborhood want to participate, they don't have that monetary barrier.
Right.
And then am I missing? We have a lot of ideas. I feel like I'm missing one that I wanted to. And another thing that I'm thinking about, and this wouldn't be immediate, but just something I'm keeping in mind for during the school year.
Mm-hmm.
If we could have that open room, that back room, like open to just like a homework lab.
Right.
Again, you know, I live in a lower income neighborhood, so, you know, single family homes. And if, you know, if the mom or dad or whoever is working and the kid's coming home and has to do homework but might be by themselves, that can maybe be a space where they can do homework. And maybe we'd be able to get, you know, like a teacher or something, and just to kind of hang out in the room so if people need help.
Right.
Or they could have that assistance, again, to just really be a community space.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then as far as the summer workshops, that would be aimed at comic book creation and just teaching kids or introducing children to comic books as an outlet.
My last question is, what advice would you give to young girls looking to pursue a goal or dream that they have?
What I would tell them is to surround themselves with people that believe in and support what they're trying to do. I think in America specifically, I feel like there's always this attitude of, you know, like, I worked hard and made this a success. But in reality, I feel like we, as a people, can't do anything without the support of others and those around us. I can say, personally, I know I would not have gotten this far if I didn't have the people, you know, standing in my corner and pushing me and encouraging me, you know, even in those moments where I feel like, you know, it's too much, or, you know, you get those moments where you just feel like giving up. And those moments are definitely, if you're doing something that you're passionate about and is worthwhile, you know, generally those things don't come easy. They're hard. And so because of that, you're going to have those moments where you kind of want to just throw in the towel and just say, you know, forget it, this is too much. And you need those people that believe in you, you know, so that they can just say, you know, that's fine to like feel those things and go through those emotions. And you do that. And then, you know, you get yourself together and you keep going. And I have, you know, just family and friends that have, you know, done those things for me, like the people that I can call when I'm having a breakdown, and they can, you know, talk me through it and get me back on track. I think that's just very important. So again, just, you know, if someone is not being supportive, you know, in that particular dream, it's like, well, then cut them out of that circle, not necessarily out of your life or whatever, but just say, well, those aren't one of the people that I talk to. When things are going on, but you need to definitely have that circle of people that you can be your go-to people when, you know, when things aren't looking, you know, as bright, you know, because there's always people there who will, you know, be rooting for you when you're succeeding, but you need those people who are rooting for you even when it doesn't look like success is tangible.
Right, right. That's absolutely perfect. So before we kind of sign off here, I wanted to ask so you're looking at sometime this fall with opening, kind of what's your timetable look like at this point?
So definitely this fall, at this point, it's looking like October, you know, so hopefully, you know, no later than the second or third week in October, you know, we're trying to get open as soon as possible, but you know, we've had some, you know, some delays, you know, some, you know, things that you can't be avoided or unexpected things. And, you know, we're working through those things as quickly as we can. So at this point, I can say second or third week in October is the likely opening time frame, but definitely in the fall. Even if that means, you know, November, though that is not what I want to happen. But you know, we're pushing hard, and I'm, you know, pushing, you know, putting pressure on the people who are working now that, of course, I can't do anything until construction's done. So really, you know, trying to emphasize the importance of getting done as soon as possible.
Right, right.
To really get this show on the road and, you know, putting, you know, all the talk over the last few months, you know, to work and actually see it in action, which I'm excited for, and I'm sure other people are too.
Oh, definitely. Well, I hope to have you back on at some point in the future, maybe after the new year, and kind of get an update as to how things are going, and we wish you all the best and look forward to a quick, smooth opening for you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it, and it was really enjoyable talking with you.
Thank you. It was great talking to you as well, Megan. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the She Heroes podcast. Please join us again, and don't forget to visit us on the web at www.sheheroes.org. See you next time.